You're listening to Room 208 Podcast, December 16, 2005. This week we have student news, word of the week, math corner, a book talk, writing with Emily, Elizabeth Sark, and we have something new for you. We have a piece called Wicked Wikipedia. First up, student news.
Next week, we are having our traditional holiday concert at the high school because a fire safety sprinkler went off in our school, and 480 gallons later, our gym floor was damaged. We got most of the water out, but some is still under the gym floor. Workers will have to tear up the gym floor and put in a new one. At the holiday concert, we will sing "This Is My Country, O To Joy, Children Go Where I Send Thee, United We Sing, Jingle Bell Dash," and the last song we sing is "Mr. Grinch." Soon we will have our holiday concert as a bonus show on the podcast.
Also this week, the 4th learned multiplication wrestling. We also had it for homework and taught our parents how to play. Haley and Bailey will be teaching you how to play multiplication wrestling on Math Corner once the holidays are over. This week, the 3rds were learning about place values, and they also played a game called Number Top It with 7-digit numbers. This is what we did in math.
Another thing we did this week was personification. Personification is when you give an inanimate object human abilities. Here's an example. The flower dances in the breeze, and that is personification. We are working on personification poems too. Here's an example by our good friend Elizabeth.
Ow, I'm always being dropped on the floor. When you bought me, I thought it was the end of my misery, but no. I thought it was the end of hisses and squawks, squeaks and squeals. But no, no. I came to an even worse place where there is even more noise, and I'm constantly being dropped on the floor. And my squeaker came out, "Well, yes, a dog toy's life is miserable." Ow.
Lastly, this week in reading, we read a speech called "I'm Not Afraid to Tell the World How I Feel" by a 12-year-old named Servan Kosuzuki. It was about pollution and how people should pick it up. The person who gave the speech gave it to grown-ups because she believes that grown-ups are messing up the world and she wants to fix it. She is only a child and she doesn't have all the solutions, but the adults don't either. So she said she's afraid to go outside and breathe the air because of all the chemicals. Then after all of us read the speech, Mr. Sprinkle told us to write a letter to him about the speech we read. He liked them.
And I'm Haley.
And this week we are going to tell you how to play Name That Number.
I know you're probably thinking that you're going to name numbers like
1 is Bob,
2 is Cassidy,
and 3 is Ashley.
But no, we are actually going to tell you the real way to play.
This is what you need:
1 deck of cards,
2 or 3 players,
and the object of the game is to collect the most cards.
This is how you play. Shuffle the cards and give 5 cards to each player.
Put the remaining cards at the top.
Flip over the top card from the deck.
That would be the target number.
For example,
your target number that you flipped is 12.
Here are some solutions. 8, 10, 2, 6, and 4 are your cards. You could do 10 plus 2 equals 12, or 10 minus 2 plus 4 equals 12, 10 plus 6 minus 4 equals 12, or 10 minus 8 plus 6 plus 4 equals 12.
And the best one out of those is the fourth one, because you collect the most cards.
The player puts those cards aside and draws the same card from the top of the deck.
Well, I'm Haley.
And I'm Bailey.
And we will see you next week with MathCon.
Courtney, and this is my book talk. My book is called Amelia's Notebook, and it's by Marcia Moss. I like this book because it's funny and it has lots of illustrations, and you can read stuff on the side, and it's kind of like a comic book, and sometimes it has speech bubbles, and it has arrows that are pointing to people, and there's a lot of funny, really funny stuff. So I'm going to read you a little bit and tell you why I like it. Well, first I'm going to tell you why I like it and some questions about the notebook. I'm going to read you a little bit of my story and then tell you some questions I had. Cleo is excited about moving in the new house she doesn't have to share a bedroom with me anymore. We each get our own, which is just fine with me. I'm sick of her stuck up snooties. Cleo with her big lips, jelly roll nose. That's why I call her jelly roll nose. She hates it. She thinks she's Miss Perfect, but because she happened to be born first. But I know secrets about her that show she's not so perfect. She snorts. And she picked her nose with her little finger.
Then we piled into our car, and it took 3 days to drive to the new house. At every single restaurant we stopped for lunch or dinner, Cleo ordered the exact same thing, hamburger and french fries, every time. Boring. I told her she's going to turn into a big fat hamburger. She was already beginning to smell like one. She just laughed at me and stuck french fries up her nose. Mom said quit it, and she saved matches from each restaurant. She says now I have a collection. I thought, why matches? Why can't she collect, like, little bags or something, like toys from there, if they give out toys? And I was thinking, why was Cleo excited to move into the new house? And I was thinking, like, why a notebook in the beginning? She started with that. I don't know why she did that. Any questions or comments? Mary?
Well, is there anything that you might think that is violent or...
No, there's nothing violent in it.
I don't know, that shouldn't be in there, that's in there.
Oh, no, there's nothing in there that shouldn't be in here for kids like my age.
Okay.
Sage?
Do you have a favorite part of the book?
I didn't read you this, but there's a little part where her sister Cleo eats food and she shows it in clumps going down her throat and into her body. It's kind of gross, but Ashley?
I think that would be a really good book to read, and it sounds really cool.
Yeah. Haley?
How long have you been reading it?
Since the start of the year. Bailey?
Were there any really, really funny parts?
Yes, there were. But there's a couple things like party bow and hair, and there's a really weird-looking dress.
Hi, my name's Emily, and this is my writing corner. Writing with Emily. Hi, are you ready for another Writing with Emily? Well, I am. Today is a special show because later I have a guest helping me out. Now let's get back to the show. Today you will learn a new poem called Creature Alliteration. First, I need to tell you what alliteration means. Alliteration is 3 to 4 words that have the same sound. For example, the purple-pink pill fell in the pond. That's alliteration. Listen carefully so you won't miss how to do a creature alliteration poem. In line 1, name your creature. In line 2, tell where your creature lives. In line 3, tell what your creature eats. In line 4, tell what your creature likes. In line 5, tell something about your creature. And in line 6, tell something that your creature did to you. Make sure your words are not the same, and make sure each sentence has 3 to 4 alliterating words. Now I have 2 example poems, one by Ashley, our special guest.
Thanks, Emily. This is a Tusamania. A Tusamania lives on tingling tapes, thunder titles. A Tusamania eats tortillas, tarantulas, tapers, and technology. A Tusamania likes to tickle teleporting turtles and toucans. A Tusamania likes to transform into big titanic talking turtles. My Tusamania transformed into a toucan and served me sweet tea on a table.
Wow, that was a great poem, Ashley. Would you like to listen to mine?
Sure.
This is a licking lily. A licking lily lives in a large lagoon in Lippingtonsville, in a large log cabin. A licking lily eats lollipops, lip pick, lock loco, pie, and lint chocolate. A licking lily likes to lick and little children, likes to light candles and lay on beds. My licking lily once licked my laying dog with lots of licking force. Did you notice how every sentence had four words or three words that started with the same letter? That's a good example of alliteration. That's all the time we have. Join me next week on Writing with Emily. Don't forget, my name is Emily.
Hi, I'm Cassidy with the Word of the Week, and the Word of the Week this week is oblige. I'm going to be asking some people what they think the word oblige means. What do you think the word oblige means?
I think it's like an igloo.
I think the word oblige means like someone who is kind of mean.
I think it means like a type of feeling that you get.
I think the word oblige means if somebody doesn't like what other people do.
What do you think the word oblige means?
I think it's a type of fruit or berry.
I think the word oblige means you said something that you didn't want to by accident.
What the word oblige really means is to be grateful. Here is the word oblige in a sentence. I am obliged to my mom because she drives me to school every day. I'm Cassidy, and that was the Word of the Week.
Hi, this is Elizabeth with Elizabeth Sark. I'm sorry I haven't been on the podcast in a while, but this week we do have a dog named Rocky, a cat named Oreo, and two Daygoose named Daygoose. Well, here they are. First, we have two female Daygoose. Have you ever heard of a Daygoose before? They are part of the rodent family. And they're from Chile, South America. They would make wonderful pets and are much more active than hamsters. They do need to stay together as Daygooses are social animals and get very lonely when by themselves. The shelter staff says that they are a friendly and fun pair. Since you may not know about much about them, please check them out at www.daygoose.org. To learn all about their care before calling the shelter, also ask the staff members who have family Daygoose for more information. Next we have Oreo. Oreo is a 2-year-old female with short black fur. The shelter took her in because she was found as a stray in Sanford. Life on the street, it was not what's cracked up to be. She much would prefer the comforts of a loving home. She gets along well with other cats and has been staying in a kitty community room here at the shelter. It's a lot of fun, but now she's looking for a loving family. Think she might be a good match. Finally, we have Rocky. He's a 5-year-old neutered male, yellow Labrador. The shelter took him in because he was found as a stray in one of the contract towns. He's a handsome boy that may chase cats at first, but should be fine with them once he gets to know them. He also should do well with most dogs after the proper introduction. Kids of all ages are fine with him, but as with all dogs, kids should be supervised with playing with him. He appears to be house trained and knows some basic commands like sit, shake, down, and speak. Obedience classes will help with general manners and will also form the dog family bond. The shelter staff says he's great. He's a great, active boy that would be a wonderful companion for an average home. Didn't those animals sound great? If one sounds just right for you, then go online at www.animalwelfaresociety.com or call at 207-985-3244. See you after the holidays. This was Elizabeth with Elizabeth Sark.
This week we have a special piece called Wicked Wikipedia by Nate, Mark, Bailey, Cassie, Sage, Courtney, and Haley.
This week we found out about a false accusation on Wikipedia. Wikipedia is the biggest encyclopedia in the world. It all started when a man named Brian Chase put a false statement on Wikipedia because he thought Wikipedia was a gag site. He said that John Siegenthaler was involved in the assassination of John and Robert Kennedy. Mr. Siegenthaler was not happy about it. Then someone else, who had something false written about them too, Daniel Brandt, tried to find out who did it. He traced down the computer used to send the statement using some internet tools, then called the company the computer was at and said, "Someone at your company wrote a false accusation on Wikipedia." Mr. Chase, who worked at the company, admitted he said that Siegenthaler killed John and Robert Kennedy and wrote an apology letter to Mr. Siegenthaler. And Mr. Chase lost his job at the delivery company, and he learned a very important lesson. Be careful what you do.
You're probably wondering what we learned.
Well, we learned that writing bad things on the internet
is like writing on the bathroom walls.
You really shouldn't write bad things on the internet,
because it can cause a big problem
that involves a lot of people.
This problem affects the world because people might think that it's true. Also, when people do bad things, other people will do bad things too.
The thing that really broke our hearts was people were saying bad things about Wikipedia. It really hurt Wikipedia's reputation.
You can't always trust the internet because some people write false information. All good researchers go to many different sources before writing a piece. Some of the sources can be Wikipedia, a trusted adult, or a book. So you should go to other sources. I hope you enjoyed our piece.
Show was so cool. What did you think? And what did you think of Wicked Wikipedia? Tell us at room208podcasts@gmail.com. Ta-ta for now and happy holidays.
Some of the music provided today came from the Pod Show PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at musicpodshow.com.